Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. It's good to be with you. It's good to continue to be with you. Thank you so much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. I'm excited about Mr. Gene Greisman being back on the show. It's, I should say Dr. Gene Greisman. I misspoke there. He is a doctor of philosophy and one of the most important members of our brain trust. He is the author of a number of books and a number of productions, including a DVD that I'm the happy owner of, Lincoln on Communication, as well as one of my favorite books in the whole world, The Words Lincoln Lived By, as well as Time Tactics of Very Successful People. He's one of the top Lincoln portrayers in the world, probably in the galaxy. And he's our good friend. Gene Greisman, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's always wonderful to be introduced by you.
It's good to have you back, Gene, as always. And you know, Gene, I love our visits, besides the fact that you're a really cool guy. Mm-hmm. I love our visits because you bring Mr. Lincoln to life when you come to the show. Sometimes on his birthday, you literally bring him to life, but you bring the things that he stood for, the way he lived his life, the way he thought about other human beings, the way he communicated, his humor, his commitment, his dedication. You bring all that to us, and there couldn't be too many people that would be better to try to emulate than Abraham Lincoln, would there?
That's exactly right. I've told you on previous shows, perhaps it bears repeating, that I was doing lots of speeches after I wrote The Achievement Factors, which is a study of what makes high achievers high achievers. And I thought, why don't I find a way to communicate this in a different way? So I thought, why not a one-man play? And after I decided to do a one-man play as another means, another way of communicating, I thought, who embodies these principles? And after giving it a lot of thought and giving it time, I thought, why not Abraham Lincoln? Because Lincoln is, I guess, America's best achievement story. From literally nothing, from poverty, went to school 1 year, no real connections, makes it all the way from that to the White House. So that's the reason I chose Lincoln.
You know,
here's a person with 1 year of schooling, writes two pieces that some consider the best things ever written in the English language. That's an achievement.
Yeah, and one of them is what, 186 words long or something like that?
Depending on which version you get.
Right. Yeah, it is, isn't it? And what do you think made Lincoln so someone that we still talk about all these years later?
Well, there are several, Jim. One, the fact that we can identify with him. George Washington's more difficult. He had money and had connections, and he was well educated for his day.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln, the people can say, I can do what he did because he started from nothing. But there are lessons that we can draw from his life. One being, here was a great communicator. Here was a person who showed that you can persuade people. You can lead through communication. And that's the key of leadership, is communication.
Mm-hmm.
I've never known a great leader who was not an excellent communicator.
Some people I have known were fairly shallow in terms of their background, in terms of their critical mass with regard to a topic or whatever it might be, but because of their ability to communicate and their ability to command the attention of others, they were successful and then grew into the critical mass.
That is exactly right. One of the a statement that I quote in seminars and in executive coaching, it's a quotation: "He who cannot communicate his ideas stands at the same level as he who has no ideas." So what does it matter if as a small business person, you provide the best service in the county or the best prices in the whole state, if you have not figured out a way to communicate that?
Mm-hmm. It's not a good thing to be a small business owner.
You have an idea that is really good, but you can't communicate it.
It's not a good idea to be a small business owner and be a best-kept secret. That's not good, folks. We'll come back. Gene's going to help us solve that problem right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us.
This ain't no place for losing. All the universe here, don't mind.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Gene Greisman is our guest, Dr. Gene Greisman, the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By and the DVD that I'm looking at, Lincoln on Communication. And this is a very popular DVD where Gene portrays Lincoln in teaching you about communication lessons and ways to put your best foot forward. And Gene, as we went to the break, you were talking about the fact that, you know, you could have a great product, a great company, a great ability to deliver value to customers, but if they don't know about you or if they don't know enough about you to come back and do business with you, then, you know, you're kind of a best-kept secret. And it's not a success strategy to be a best-kept secret for small business, is it?
That's exactly right. You need to know how to get your message across. You need to know how to get your message out. You need to know how to get your message across. When I did the Lincoln on Communication, which is really a training film for people who want to know how to be a better communicator and use the principles Lincoln used, training film has 10 basic principles that Lincoln used to be an effective communicator, and I thought I might just mention one of them this morning.
I hope you will.
It's actually Principle 7 in Lincoln on Communication. It's know your audience. If you want to be an effective communicator, whether you're a small business person or a lawyer, you must learn as much as possible about your audience. Lincoln spent a lot of time trying to persuade juries, and effective lawyers spend a lot of time thinking about what the jury is like, how they think, what they know, what are their prejudices, what turns them on, what turns them off. And if you're a small business owner or anybody trying to communicate, you have to think a lot about what your audience is like, what are they going to respond to. And then, you know, another thing is some people are not ready. All of the people are not ready for all of your message all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Henry David Thoreau said this. He said it takes two to speak the truth, one to speak, and another to listen.
Well, you know, this is a very important thing to apply what you're saying to, you know, to an actual executable task in small business. What you're talking about could be on more than one level. On one level, it's something that we've talked about with our marketing experts before, and that is to make sure that when you spend your money, when you spend your resources and your time on marketing, make sure that you're not shotgunning that effort and using those resources in a broadcast way. Make sure that even if you are spending it on broadcast, that it's focused on the people who are likely to be listening to that broadcast. Because, you know, small business owners typically aren't – everybody in the phone book isn't a prospect for most small businesses.
There are people who we need to identify, who are the ones that we need to be speaking to, and we need to find where they are and communicate with them effectively where they are and where they're listening.
And after you've decided who they are, where they are, and the best way to get to them, then you have to be, when you're thinking about the content of your message, you have to be darn certain that you're not answering questions they're not asking.
Mm-hmm. For example, just, you know, if you're advertising on one of the local radio stations or one of the local television stations or the cable company or whatever, you know, find the show, find the segments, find the programs where the people that you're buying these advertising from, find the ones where they have told you that the profile of the customer that you're looking for are likely to be watching or listening.
Mm. Yes.
But then we got to do what you were saying at the end there, Gene. You got to make sure that what you say connects too, don't you?
That's the reason why when you're preparing your message and you're going to spend these hard-earned dollars to try to communicate your message, you've got to make sure that that message speaks to the people who are potential customers. And there are a lot of ways to do that. You spend time knowing what they are like, who they are, and that sometimes you don't have to spend a lot of money doing that, but you do have to spend some time and energy talking to people who are like the ones you're going to communicate with. Maybe your customers you already have, and find out what you do that they really like, and what problems do you solve that they want solved, and then that's a part of the message that you try to get out to others.
Well, and it's not just in the advertising either, Gene. I mean, these customers, you and the customers come in close proximity at some point in time, either face-to-face or over the phone or electronically, and there's a way of communicating effectively with them that makes them want to connect with you, isn't there?
There is. And that's another Lincoln principle. Whenever you're doing face-to-face communication, or maybe even in print or on radio, you have to make them feel that you are their friend and you have their best interest at heart. If you can communicate that, that's a core principle, and I made sure that was one of the basic principles in the training video, Lincoln on Communication.
Lincoln on Communication, which is available at presidentlincoln.com, right, Gene?
That's right.
Quick break, 10 till. We'll be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Gene Griseman is our guest. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Gene Griseman, Dr. Gene Griseman is our guest, the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By, Time Tactics for Very Successful People. Those are books. And then he's got this DVD, which is also a CD, a compact disc with the audio soundtrack of the DVD that is the video of Gene in character as President Lincoln talking about communication. And this outstanding little package and the books that Gene has written are available at his website, and that's presidentlincoln.com, isn't it, Gene?
That's right, and also it's available at Amazon.com. And if they'll type in either my name or the name of the book or the DVD, they can find them there, too.
And the last name is G-R-I-E-S-S-M-A-N, Gene Griseman, with an I before the E. Gene, as you know, as I was talking earlier with Beverly Williams about the tragedy, the absolute tragedy of that's happened with the hurricane in South Louisiana, South Mississippi, Alabama, the Panhandle of Florida. I wonder what President Lincoln would have to say to those folks.
Abraham Lincoln would first of all say, similar things have happened to me. In fact, he wrote a letter once and spoke of much severe experience. Abraham Lincoln knew what it was to be uprooted. He was uprooted as a child from Kentucky when his family moved to Ohio. They had a land title problem. He, pardon me, went to Indiana. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say Ohio. From Kentucky to Indiana. Then he moved from Indiana to Illinois. He moved from New Salem to Springfield in Illinois. And at no one of those uprootings, those moves, did he have $100 to his name. And I think that Lincoln would say, if you can move out, you can start over. Because there's one thing that people can't take away from you, and that's what you have in your head. What you know, the skills, the knowledge, you can use somewhere else. Or you can go back and start over with what you know and what you can do.
Would President Lincoln encourage the folks from New Orleans, for example, would he encourage them to go back and rebuild that city and rebuild that region?
He'd encourage some of them. And he might and he might say to some, don't bother to go back there. Your future may lie in another state, another place. For example, New Salem, and I don't think it's going to be true of New Orleans. New Salem ceased to exist just a few years after he left New Salem to go to Springfield. He didn't have $100 to his name when he left New Salem. He was just he'd learned how to be a lawyer. And he'd taught himself law from a law book. And by talking to other lawyers and going to court, he went off to Springfield, and he had everything he possessed in a saddlebag that he'd put on the back of his horse. So he would say to the people in New Orleans, New Orleans is going to be a great city again. I love that place. But some of the people should not go back. They should, they could find opportunities and fortune and a great future somewhere else.
What do you think President Lincoln would do if he were president right now in this circumstance? What do you think he would do?
Well, one, he would communicate to them a message in as eloquent a way as possible that you can do it, you can achieve, you can make this work. And number two, he would have found and marshaled all the resources of the government that he could possibly find and gotten together the best brain power around that he could find, and he would have done whatever for the people, whatever they could not do for themselves, the resources that the federal and the state and the local governments could give. So he would marshal resources and he would inspire. Those are the two things a national leader can do.
Well, Gene, as you know, the folks down there have got their hands full recovering from all that, and I know you join me.
I love that city.
I know you join me. Well, and of course, it's, you know, Biloxi is a beautiful place too. So is Mobile.
I love that whole part of the world.
It's a beautiful part of the world. Gene, thank you for being here, and I appreciate your comments today, as always.
Well, it's a joy to be with you.
Gene Greisman, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Gene Greisman, the author of The Words Lincoln Lived By, and all of his very important information is available at his website, presidentlincoln.com. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.